In the Old Testament, there is the history of most of the kings of Israel. And really, in all of that list, only two of them come out very well. One is David, and even David was a great sinner, but he comes out pretty well in the end. He reigned for 38 years. But the other is Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was a reformer who tore down a lot of the altars to the pagan gods and goddesses. He was a reformer of the law. He found some old books of the law and had them proclaimed out loud for people. Hezekiah was a child prince at the time that this prophecy that we heard today is spoken. His immediate predecessor was Ahaz. And out of all the kings, Ahaz may very well have been the worst. So you go from the bottom to the top in one generation. And Isaiah, the prophet that we hear from this morning, he says to Ahaz, ask for a sign from God. Let it be as high as the sky or as deep as the ocean. Limitless. And Ahaz, because he has no faith, no relationship with God, he pulls that line that we sometimes use, oh, I don't want to tempt the Lord. Don't bother him. I know he's busy. You know, when we don't really care what somebody wants to tell us, or we don't care what someone is announcing, we say, oh, don't bother. It's not that important. I'm nobody. What we really mean is, I don't care. And that's Ahaz. And so Isaiah says, in absolute contempt, the Lord is going to give you a sign, because it isn't up to you anyway. God is going to do what God is going to do regardless of your faithfulness. And so he says, the sign is, the virgin shall be with child, and they shall name him Emmanuel. Well, talk about high as the sky or deep as the ocean. There were various stories in the Old Testament about barren women conceiving and about old women conceiving, but never about a virgin conceiving without benefit of partnership with man. So it's an unbelievable prophecy. Now, was Isaiah talking about the Messiah? Was he talking about Jesus? Or was he talking about the child prince Hezekiah? Probably the latter. But Christian interpretation has read into that text that it's talking about Jesus. So in the readings today, Ahaz and his faithlessness is contrasted with Mary and Joseph and their faithfulness. Ahaz doesn't believe anything. He doesn't believe the prophecy. He's not even asking for it. But Mary and Joseph, there's this amazing openness. And we see two different kinds of openness in Mary and Joseph. In Mary, we see a kind of a passive openness. Let it be done to me according to your word. I am the maidservant. So there's this infinite openness, but it's about God's action in me. But with Joseph, he's required to do some things. Not just be passive and open, but do some things. Take Mary as your wife. Take them to Egypt. Bring them back from Egypt. Raise the child. So they're both human responses to the invitation from God. One is kind of passive and open in that way. The other one is, you know, allowing myself to be transformed and becoming Christ, doing some activities, bearing some fruit. Now, that doesn't mean that Mary doesn't bear fruit, too. She bears the fruit, the Son of God. Mary is a virgin. And, of course, the miracle of the birth of Christ is that Mary conceived without coupling with a man. It wasn't born in the normal human way. It comes from divine sources. It comes from God dwelling within Mary from the moment of her conception. So she's a virgin in her body, but she's also a virgin in her soul. We just celebrated a couple of weeks ago the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which is that doctrine of the church that Mary was conceived without original sin. So in other words, She's not only a virgin in her body, but she's a virgin in her spirit too. She knew no sin. There was nothing sullied about her conscience, about her soul. She was virginal and pure. And so when she, in her absolute virginal openness, conceives, there's nothing else to call it but Son of God. It's the gift of God coming at Mary, and her reception of the gift that is so complete and so open that the fruit of that is Son of God. But you know, there's something virginal about our experience of God too. The experience of God is always virginal in this sense, because no other human being ever existed exactly like you. And God never came into another human being in all the history of the human race like he is coming into me. And my response to that gift is unique. It's virginal, because no human ever responded in quite the way that you are responding. Despite the immensity of humanity and the immensity of the cosmos, we are nothing in all of that, and yet God is in each of us. That's what Emmanuel means. God with each and every person. Yes, with the human race, but in you and me too. And sometimes we're Ahaz, and sometimes we're Mary or Joseph. When we're Ahaz, we're thinking of ourselves as unworthy, and besides, we're busy, we have so many preoccupations. Another time, Lord, you know, we push God away, or we push him into the tabernacle so that I know where he is when I want to access him, but he's not with me all the time, where I would have to actually be transformed and be witnessing to Christ with every word I speak and with every action I do. No, I'd rather think of him as in the church, and I'll access him when I'm ready. That's when we're Ahaz. But when we're Mary or Joseph, and we have that side to us too, we don't want to forget that, we welcome him into our bodies in the Eucharist. And we know, and we're comfortable with the idea that we're taking him out those doors in a few minutes, and we're going to take him to the world, and we're going to witness to him. And there will be people who will come to faith by our witness, or their faith will be strengthened, or they in one way or another are going to be healed. They're going to be saved because of Christ in me.